You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey everyone, welcome. This is the stinker, right? This is the one that when you saw it coming down the pipeline, you were excited, right? We're finally doing a Star Wars movie. It's one of the prequels, of course it is. We even managed to scrape together someone who's kind of a universal Carrie Fisher fan. We'll see what she thinks. But you might even be wondering why we didn't do the first one or the second one, which I think the second one's the worst for me. The first one's just a cartoon for kids. I don't understand the first one. I think this is the mediocre one, and the mediocre one that people are like, well, it's not the worst, maybe it's the best. That's kind of our wheelhouse at this point. But this movie is just such a weird mess that, well, I guess you'll have to listen and see. 2 weeks now, February 1st, we're going to open up the lines to do a listener request month. It's exciting, it's new, it's different, it'll be coming soon, so please make sure that you guys participate, because it'll be nice, and yeah, thanks for listening, bye.
This is Mandy from CasterQuest, and we're inviting you to join us as we explore Patrick Rothfuss's best-selling fantasy series, The Kingkiller Chronicle. You can find CasterQuest at CasterQuest.com, on SoundCloud, on Apple Podcasts, or at our podcast network at ESOPodcast.com.
Researching Chandrian, Ambrose Jack is dumb, loading Denna's on a date. Master Kilvin, old ass man, a selling lamps to folks in Imre, Will and Sim and Diox, Danshin, Tabalin the Great.
Welcome to My Happy Divinity Childhood. This week, we're finally getting to Star Wars. You're welcome, or I'm sorry, whichever you prefer. This is George Lucas's fifth movie and his worst, no, sixth movie and his fifth best. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Defender Childhood, and on panel, and award-winning comedian. And on panel we have...
I'm Kelsey. You can find me on Twitter at the handle Carrie's Angel.
And...
Matthew W. Quinn, who thought this movie was unintentionally hilarious.
And would you like to introduce yourself?
No!
That was a little bit of a letdown. I was expecting something more, like, intricate.
Oh, no.
Well, just like the rest of us were with this plot.
Why this movie is unintentionally hilarious. The supreme moment of tragedy in this whole series, and I just could not stop laughing.
No.
I will say that was clearly an actor's choice. If you've ever seen Return of the Empire Strikes Back.
Luke, I am your father.
No!
It runs.
He has the littlest hissy fit.
Oh, Kylo Ren's the one who's picking up the hissy fits in this family now.
That's the next generation.
Yeah. Oh,
you have generational hissy fits. And here's the thing
the
about
Skywalker them. Whining gene.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, by the end, you thought that he was that Anakin wanted to go to Tashi Station to get some power converters. This is going to be a very nerdy episode.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm not that guy, but for this, I'm going to be that
you
guy.
You kind of have to be that
guy. Movie ever.
You can basically sum up all of the Star Wars movies as just like the Skywalker family is overdramatic and ruins everything.
Oh my God, they're the worst. Oh my God, the universe. Like, have you ever known that guy who ruined every party? The Skywalkers ruined the entire universe. Like, that's what it is. So before we get too far into this, I will say, if I mentioned to people that we were going to do a Star Wars movie, this was not the one people were thinking. They wanted us to do the second one.
Ooh.
Which is,
why?
I think, because I think in general, the second one is considered the worst because that's where we get such lines like Anakin looking at her and going,
You're not like sand. Sand gets everywhere.
It's
sand
coarse.
Sand is coarse and it's irritating.
Which is where the 40-year-old virgin goes, women's boobs are like sand. Like, it's just, none of the second one makes sense. Because at one point she looks at him, I wish you wouldn't look at me like that. It makes me uncomfortable. Like all of us have been saying the whole movie. It's awful. Awful, awful, awful. But I will
just
say,
I would just like to point out the 40-year-old virgin came out the same year as this movie.
Better movie. But what I would say is Matt was right to pick this one because this is the movie that's an episode. Because this is the best of the trilogy.
Well, I mean,
the best of the prequels.
Yeah.
Well, of the trilogy.
We must emphasize.
Yeah,
that.
The prequel trilogy.
Yeah. But that being said, it's the highest reviewed by far on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And Metascore. This one has a positive Metascore.
I know for a while, like, just because it didn't suck, everybody was giving it like 3.5 and 4-star reviews and claiming it was better than Return of the Jedi.
No. That's going to be a nope from me.
I mean, it's not better than Return of the Jedi. I don't like Return of the Jedi that much. I think it's a very it's the most childish of all of them.
Well, that's,
the Ewoks.
Well, that's the one.
That's why it's the most childish of all of them.
That's where you could really see the cracks in Lucas's storytelling abilities was when with Return of the Jedi. He was just kind of hastily cobbling everything together.
No, but then there's like that hilarious moment where like with Leia and Han, where like Han flashes back to when she kissed Luke and is like, wait, you kissed your brother?
Well, there are kind of some hilarious moments.
There's a Star Wars rat bad like, do you kiss your brother with that mouth? Oh, yes.
Anyway, there's some hilarious moments in this too, but I mean,
meanwhile,
yeah, they're few and far between. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
I still feel like the Phantom Menace is definitely the worst. Though
the Phantom Menace, just I remember I saw Phantom Menace in theaters, and I was just gobsmacked because I had no idea what it was like. One of the dumbest things about Harry Potter is not Quidditch because it's an idea; it's that in movies, it's just there to pad the runtime.
Right,
it doesn't add anything, but. The whole first act builds up to slaves and speed. Like that whole like speed racer thing has nothing to do with anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It just it has nothing to do. And it adds an hour of runtime to a movie that could be less than 2 hours.
And it's still the best damn scene in the movie because it's actually exciting to watch.
Oh, I thought it was because of comedians that were the voices of the talkie dudes.
Oh, the Greg Proops.
And
Jar Jar Binks, that was so annoying.
And Sebulba?
Yes.
Steven, I think we can cast Sebulba in your new movie.
Schindler's List 2, he's going to save all the droids. Okay, so I was going to say, too, apparently the backlash to Jar Jar Binks was so strong. Like, there's people who think he was supposed to be a Sith, which is, of course, all bullshit. I don't like fan theories in these because we're supposed to be talking about a terrible movie. We don't have to make up stuff to make George Lucas seem like he's not crazy.
There's one time I've enjoyed Jar Jar Binks, and that was that Robot Chicken sketch where he comes back with Darth Vader, and he's like, oh, Annie! You remember that bit?
Mm-hmm.
And then Vader kills him, and then he comes back as a Force ghost.
He does.
That was hilarious.
It was good. I mean, I was going to say, apparently he hated the reaction to Jar Jar so much. George did.
Oh, yeah.
That he was talking that the title of the second one would be called Jar Jar's Day Out or something, Jar Jar's Big Adventure.
Oh, God.
Because George doesn't get it. Like, let's not forget, he's still a relatively young director. This was only the 6th movie he ever directed. No. THX 1138, American Graffiti, the first Star Wars, and then the 3 movies.
If only they had someone else direct this one, because
no one wanted to do it. It was poison. Apparently, like, when he came out with the script for Phantom Menace and was showing it around, Ron Howard was considered, and he goes, no, George, this one's on you. Spielberg said no. Everyone said no to all of these prequel movies.
So not even Stefan Spielberg would do it?
No one would.
I remember this petition going around that said Lucas, well, first and foremost, he only directed the first Star Wars. The other two were directed by different people.
Right, including
Erwin Kirshner,
who did Never Say Never Again.
And RoboCop 2, his masterpiece right there. And
Empire.
I know.
Empire's a masterpiece.
Well, yeah, but you could tell he really had no say in what was going on there.
That's true.
Although, I still would have loved to see David Lynch direct Return of the Jedi.
Which, if I recall, he turned down in favor of Dune.
Yeah. Well, George, I got to tell you, George, I'm picturing a whole lot of naked ladies in this movie, George. And lesbian sex scenes, George, those are really going to sell. Do you want lesbian sex scenes in your Jedi movie, George?
You know, now, David, the problem is, that's just too much. I'm just going to have a man in love with his sister. I think that's much more...
You're a real creep there, George. That's really screwed up.
That's fine. So let's get into the plot of this, if anyone wants to wager a guess. There's essentially three plots going on.
Okay, so there's a war going on between the Trade Federation still and the clone troopers. It's we're still in the Clone Wars, basically.
Right.
And Obi-Wan and Anakin are still best buds, and they're fighting, although they're starting to have doubts about the Chancellor, who's been in office long past his term has expired, so they're starting to think that there's a conspiracy around him.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the Chancellor Palpatine, Sheev Palpatine, I still love the fact that that's his name.
Yeah.
Sheev Palpatine.
Yeah, there you go.
Is trying to manipulate Anakin by promising him he'd be able to save Padme after Anakin has visions about her dying. And this is eventually what leads to Anakin becoming Darth Vader, spoilers, and to the final confrontation between him and Obi-Wan and to the rise of the Galactic Empire. And yeah, that's what I got.
So this movie might be the weakest on women of all of them. Because there's almost a woman in this movie. Padme has roughly six lines where she's in love with Anakin.
She exists to be pregnant and cry.
Basically.
And, yeah. she's still the best performer in this whole movie.
Well, that's why we had to invite brown-haired woman to this to explain feminine wiles.
I got to say this instead of just saying no. I got to say no, no, no.
Oh, he has a little hissy, right?
Oh.
I mean, I think... There are some things we should talk about. The thing that bothered me the most about this movie is really threefold. First of all, it's the most uneven movie I've ever seen. You have really good action, and then they literally do star wipes to like someone talking about something, and then they cut back to the action. It's insane.
Have you not seen a Kurosawa film?
But he knows what he's doing. How dare you compare Kurosawa to George?
Well, George Lucas was just ripping off Kurosawa for all these movies.
Right. This is the Crayola version of a Manet. Like, this is one of those adult coloring books where someone gets, like, Starry Night from Van Gogh, and they're coloring in with pencils because their boss has been an asshole. And so the lines are all crooked because they're twitching with whiskey. The other thing is the CGI. Opening scene, starfight, really cool. They're fighting they're trying to rescue the Chancellor, blah, blah, blah.
How did that work exactly? He's just randomly been kidnapped by...
We have no idea. Who cares?
The Separatists raid Coruscant and they kidnap the Chancellor. But remember, the Chancellor is in control of both sides of the war, so it's all a scam.
No shit. But the thing about it is, it's a cool scene, right? CGI looks good, everything looks good, and then occasionally it just all goes to shit. I don't know why the budget for the CGI is so uneven. I guess maybe it had already taken them 4 years, so
apparently
they just wanted to rush it.
I just remember someone griping about the prequel trilogy saying there was CGI food.
Meaning what?
As in, there was CGI food in the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. Well, there's no sets. There's literally, at points, it's so clear. I mean, we'll get to it, but when Anakin is thrown into like a lava bath and literally bursts into flames, you could tell that it was like lava footage from the 1980s. A background which he was kind of lying on, and then CGI fire. Like at one point, R2-D2 covers people in oil and then throws a fucking match like he's in a Scorsese film.
Yeah, why the hell was R2-D2 so badass in this movie? And then in the original trilogy, he was basically nothing.
Well,
he's badass in all the movies. Have you been paying attention?
Well, yeah, right. But he could actually fight in this one.
In the in Attack of the Clones, he has rockets.
Oh. In this one, he also can, he pours gasoline on people. He doesn't have oil in any of these other movies. He gets bathed in oil. But that's another problem with these movies. These are prequels. Why is there more technology in these movies than in the trilogy later on? Well, they have heat-seeking missiles. Well, they have headbands.
I think there's some... You know, I know you're going to hate me for saying this. Fan theories. Maybe all the money was going to the Death Star.
Hey, look whose microphone I'm cutting off.
All the money is going to the Death Star, so no one is investing in any new technology.
But why would old technology go away?
Not being maintained.
You don't forget how to make heat-seeking missiles. You don't forget how to make, like, those headband things that they wear that allows them to talk to each other. Like, why would you have better technology movies that are set 30 years ago?
Good. You have a fan theory for that too, man?
Oh, that's a little cruel. That's a little cruel.
But like... You don't have to talk about fan theories. We're talking about what's on the screen. And what's on the screen doesn't make any sense.
Now, I'll say two things about this.
Please.
Okay, the first thing is, back in the early 2000s, there was like this boom where digital film was basically a new thing, and everybody thought that was the wave of the future. Like,
well, George said it was only way.
Right? Well, I mean, the same year this came out is when the first Sin City came out, which basically was the same thing. It was like there was no props, there was no sets, it was all green screen and CGI to make that movie.
And Bruce Willis pretending he gave a shit.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, well... whatever, though. The point is that that actually existed because that was what everybody thought was the new thing, and it was after sort of the backlash, I think, with these, that kind of died out.
Yeah.
Even though I think it's kind of coming back because all the Marvel movies are nothing but CG.
Right. They're standing on a street in Atlanta... And it looks like Chicago, and there's aliens flying around. And
probably Avatar kind of bought it back, too. But anyway, that's what they were trying to go for, is that's what they thought was going to be the new thing. And it just didn't age as well because technology never will, because event stuff that was made 10 years ago is going to look like crap now.
Well, and no one knows where to look. It's baffling. Mm-hmm. Like you could tell... at the end of the second one, where there's that weird fight scene with Yoda, actually kind of a badass scene where they're in that like old school, like Roman style Colosseum pit, and there's monsters, and they tear off parts of Padme's dress so she looks like she's Slave Leia, and then Yoda flies in, like he's riding with like Ride of the Valkyries is playing and everything, and they're shooting like that's okay.
And then he pulls out a lightsaber and throws down with Christopher Lee, who's like five times his height.
Yeah, apparently Chris Lee was so pissed off that he called George Lucas a shit director, and that's why he's only in this movie for like 10 minutes.
Chris Lee had earned the right to say whatever he wanted to about anyone at this point.
But not to me, motherfucker. That's why I cut him out of the rest of this movie.
Well, you, I'm going back to New Zealand to work with Peter Jackson.
And there's another 12 Hobbit movies coming.
Yeah.
What shit movie did he come out with this year?
Chris Lee's dead.
No, Peter Jackson.
Oh, Mortal Engines?
Yeah, that's a big old pilot. Well, it's a steampunk movie, so it's going to lose money. But
the second thing I was going to say is what worked about the first Star Wars is it actually looked like people lived in that universe. Oh. Like, the speeders were all dinged up, and... I don't know. There was dust everywhere on like the houses, and everything here just looks so sterile because it's all CG.
But like that kind of makes sense though, because like with the originals, they wanted to give the idea that the universe had been lived in for a while, and that whatever conflict had been going on for a while. But this is like how many years earlier, and so things wouldn't be as banged up.
That makes sense that they wanted to get the sense that it was lived in, but that's what works. I mean, this just looks like a cartoon.
Yeah,
and it's not as emotionally effective.
It feels shiny, which I guess is fine, but like everything is shiny. Like there's not like a bad corner of Coruscant. There's no one selling me death sticks.
Yeah,
he probably got there's no robo hookers.
They probably got put in a labor camp for the war effort.
But they were in the other movies. That's what I'm saying. Like
there were robo hookers in the other movies.
Yeah, weren't there people like trying to like grab onto like Obi-Wan as he was going through the dark part of town looking for that missing archive? Because I know there were death sticks, there was a bad bar.
What movie are you talking about?
Okay, in the second movie, when they when they steal the whole system where they're making the clones.
When the bounty hunters go. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And Obi-Wan has his just say no to drugs number.
Right, and I mean apparently. Ewan McGregor said that was his favorite scene to film because they actually made a bar
for him to sit in. It was the only place where there was an actual set. Yeah. Everything in the second movie is CGI. That's the only set that existed.
Speaking of which, only in the Star Wars universe can a Scottish man turn into an English man.
Ewan McGregor, about halfway through, you realize he knows what movie he's making and gets really cheesy.
Oh, he's the best part of this movie.
Yeah. His dialogue in the final battle on Mustafar, the lava planet with Anakin, is so bad. Of course, it's the scriptwriter's fault, but he sounds so ridiculous saying it.
You mean George's fault? There's only one scriptwriter, baby.
I have to say, though, the dialogue could have been way worse. George actually brought on Carrie Fisher to help with the dialogue. So if he hadn't brought her on to help, it would have been way worse than what actually made it to screen.
I wish she got any credit.
She doesn't get any credit at all.
No. He blamed her for stuff, too. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, in the first movie, what's the guy? Not Sebulba, but the other one. Who's the slave trader?
Watto?
Watto.
Yeah.
The Watto being, like, very clearly a racist caricature, he blamed her for that.
Jeez.
Sure, dude.
Yeah, apparently he was supposed to be English, and she was the one who said he should be more Jewy. And so...
Although I don't know. Because she just, like, gave zero f***s, so... Am I allowed to say that?
Sure.
We're jumping kind of just all around here. So
it's garbage.
Well, there's this one big thing that I'd like to bring up.
Is it still garbage?
It's going to be. Okay. Yes, it's a garbage point. How in the hell does Anakin's fall to the dark side actually work? Because the way it should work is that essentially, okay, that whole bit where Palpatine's saying, I'm the only one who can teach you how to save your wife when she's dying in childbirth. Fine. That makes perfect sense. But then somehow he takes his side over the Jedi by saying that the Jedi are traitors, even though, like, two scenes earlier, he himself wanted to kill Palpatine when he found out that he was a Sith Lord. How does that work?
He's petty, and he's pissed off that they wouldn't let him be a full Jedi Master. And so he's like, all right. Like,
well, they never say that, though. And he explicitly says that he thinks the Jedi are traitors and evil. And it's like, two scenes before, you were doing exactly what Mace Windu was doing.
Because he's petty.
Well, I mean, also, it's a shitty movie. Let's get through this in chunks. I couldn't tell you the plot, but I'm going to look it up on Wikipedia because
that's my job.
There's that 20-minute sequence when they're fighting Grievous, who's the worst character in this movie.
Why would you make a goddamn robot that coughs?
Because I think he's supposed to have a meat core built. He's basically a foreshadowing of Vader, a crippled meat core with breathing problems and arms.
He doesn't have lungs. He has a heart.
Tell me more about your meat core, man.
Yeah, gross.
Although, for a character who, like, isn't that important, he's still pretty popular. Like, when I worked at Disney, I worked in one of the stores where you can build your own lightsaber, and a lot of the kids were like, I want to do the Grievous lightsaber. And it's like, he's not in the movie for that long, so you wouldn't think he had that much of an impact.
And all he does is run away and cough.
All the asthmatic kids want to be Grievous. Why would you have an asthmatic robot?
For inclusivity. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't. Well,
why would you program a robot? I want this one to have a hard time breathing, even though robots don't breathe.
Now, I'm just going to go ahead and pull a Matt here because I know otherwise we're going to get angry tweets.
Dun dun dun.
Apparently, in that cartoon at one point it shows why he coughs, and it's because Mace Windu crushed his chest plate or something.
He still doesn't breathe. He's a robot.
I know.
He has a heart, though, which is weird.
And he's got eyeballs.
Apparently they needed midichlorians, so they needed real flesh, maybe.
I don't know.
Midichlorians are just gone.
I think they're mentioned maybe once when Palpatine is pulling his crap on Anakin at the opera. He is so
sperm opera.
Yeah, he is so transparently manipulative.
Yeah, that was the other
that
thing.
How can no one notice that he is obviously playing everyone? He is so unsubtle.
How the hell did nobody raise any red flags about the fact that he's talking about a Sith Lord when they know that there's a Sith Lord in the government that they're searching for, and this guy knows about things he shouldn't know about?
What's the name of the guy that he's talking about?
Plagueis?
Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Darth Plagueis the Wise. Oh, did the Jedi ever tell you about Darth Plagueis the Wise?
Isn't he could that make Snoke?
No. Snoke is Snoke is not a Sith, but we digress.
Well, here's the thing. Anakin apparently in episode one is birthed by like Immaculate Conception, right?
Mm. Oh, this pisses me off.
And there's I'm not gonna say
it's Darth Plagueis. I think that Qui-Gon actually got it on with his mom. I think that's how he came about.
Man, there's a lot of slaves around here. Ooh boy, I gotta fix my spaceship.
You know who played you know that the woman that played his mom was one of Ingmar Bergman's stable of actors,
I know,
right?
She was.
She was in Fanny and Alexander.
You know, sometimes people have to redo their basements or their bathrooms. Okay. Need another garage.
I think the actress who played Anakin's mother was the Virgin Mary in a TV Bible movie.
I mean,
why
people
not?
Got to work, right?
That's just typecasting right there.
Right? Because she's supposed to be immaculately conceived. And, oh, God, it's all gross. Did you know Darth Plagueis could create life?
From midichlorians.
Gross. So gross.
And Ian McDermott, his delivery in throughout this movie sucks.
Which one's Ian McDermott?
He's Palpatine.
Yeah.
And when Mace Windu's got him down and is reflecting his lightning back in when burning his face off, he is so hamming it up. Like, I'm so weak, I'm going to die. I mean, Anakin is not exactly...
Oh, William, I'm going to die, William.
Anakin is probably not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer, but... How does he not know he is shamming in that scene?
Because everybody in this movie is an idiot.
Yes, this might be the movie filled with the most dumb people. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, apparently... Oh, it's also... We haven't really gotten into this. It's a very sexist movie. There's one female Jedi, and she's the only one who doesn't even get her lightsaber out before she's shot in the back.
Oh, yeah. By the way, they kill... Well, nominally, they kill...
Order 66, right?
Order 66.
Execute Order 66.
I mean, you're doing the Crypt Keeper. You're not wrong.
It doesn't...
Order 66!
he doesn't look... Here's something I noticed. Palpatine, after he's disfigured by Mace, he looks like Bram Stoker's Dracula. Like the red robes, the white hair, the face.
Well, old Dracula.
I have these scars from the Jedi because they tried to overthrow the government.
Right. Oh, William, the Jedi tried to overthrow the government.
He's also very clearly having force orgasms the entire time when he's killing people. He's like, ha, 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 ha.
When he jumps up and kills a Jedi Master, a complete 360 spin in the air, and he's screaming his head off.
It's just, it's so much nothing. Oh, it's so much nothing. It's the best of the three. I mean, that's why this is the episode. I know there are young people who love this trilogy. Love it, love it, love it.
You need
to watch more movies, guys. This is just so much nothing.
You need to watch the Clone Wars cartoon because I heard Anakin in that one is much more likable. He is such a whiny... I've only seen little bits of the Clone Wars cartoon.
You don't have to talk about it. Talk about movies that are good. The first three.
Yes.
Watch the first three.
Yes, watch the original.
I'm saying watch the Clone Wars instead of this piece of garbage because Anakin is likable.
No. Watch the first three instead of this piece of garbage.
Go to Steam, download Knights of the Old Republic, play that. There you go.
I mean,
no,
like,
watch the originals.
Look, the first movie.
Well, after you've watched the originals.
You don't have to watch anything else. You have to see young Harrison Ford.
It's not like you're like, but what happens after? Who cares? The movie's over. You're done. You don't have to write a fan fiction. You don't have to like do it. The first one is a tight 2 hours. The philosophy is 15 minutes of it tops. It's a sweet movie. Frankly, they didn't need to make a sequel to that. It ends nice and tight, Star Wars as a whole. But it was originally just released as Star Wars. There was no colon. There was no A New Hope.
No, but they knew that they were going to make a trilogy before.
They didn't.
They did.
Not originally.
It was in the contract.
In the credit rolling, it says episode 4.
That was added later.
That was added later, but it was in the contract that they had to be available for 3 films.
Well, but that was for everything. There was also 3 Ghostbusters films contract, and they cut that off.
I'm pretty sure Sean Connery was contracted to do like a sequel to League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, they had an opt-out clause, and they immediately opted out. Because George Lucas wanted more money, and they said you couldn't direct it because it effectively destroyed him. It ruined his first marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you can tell that George Lucas hates marriages because he treats women like garbage because they ruined him. Mm. He's been through two wives, and it's so clear here. He also has never seen a pregnant woman. Did you notice that Padme is only pregnant right before she gives birth?
Yeah.
Even at the beginning of the scene, she's still thin, sexy Natalie Portman. And then right before they give birth, put a fat belly on her.
Do you remember when she actually was pregnant at the Oscars and won Best Actress for Black Swan and just how visibly pregnant she was?
I mean,
yeah, I mean, day. it's like, compare that to how Padme looks in this. It's like,
ugh. Her pregnant acting is kind of the best. Luke, and you're just like, wait, what's happening now?
Yeah.
When that robot comes up and he goes, she's perfectly healthy, but she's dying.
And we don't know why.
They say she's losing her will to live.
That's not a medical diagnosis.
And Obi-Wan is like, excuse me? There's this bafflement on his face, like they didn't know the line was coming. He goes, shh, but we're losing her. And he goes, what's happening? He goes, she's losing her will to live. And he goes, what? And behind him, Senator Organa is just like, that's not a thing.
Oh yeah, Jimmy Smits is in this movie.
Jimmy Smits. Jimmy Smits knows where his bread is buttered. He gets it. I love him in this movie. Their kids being slaughtered. He's like, I'm going to the car.
Yeah.
He's like, what? It's so funny.
Master Skywalker, what should we do now?
That's the only good thing to come out of this movie. That holotape.
No,
that holotape of him killing Yinglings, and then it's like photoshopped Anakin drinking Yingling.
Killing Yinglings.
You took the joke out of my hand. He's going through a frat hazing. He's taking down Yinglings.
Yeah, that wasn't him in the Jedi Temple at all. He was in the dive bar at Coruscant drinking.
Him and Quato just there in the corner, just taking shots.
Quato?
Yeah, I know, from Total Recall.
I was about to say.
Just a baby head in the middle
Anakin,
of the chest.
Anakin, you buy the next round.
And what's her name? Mirian from Indiana Jones. And just the three of them are taking shots. That's how you do this movie. Yeah.
But even though Padme only has like a couple lines, like I think she has like one of the best lines in the movie, though. The like, so this is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
Yeah.
He clearly didn't like George W. Bush. That's kind of...
I mean, well, Marco Rubio used that in his concession speech.
Oh boy.
I heard it and I was like, wait, that sounds really familiar. And
Marco
then I was
Rubio,
like, wait, that's where it's from.
He would do that, wouldn't he? Oh, Jesus Christ, Rubio. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you looking it up now? I was like listening to it on TV and then I was like, wait, did he just...
They're giving credit to the Washington Post quoted it in response to Donald Trump. That's good. But yeah, no, there it is. I'm going to see if I can find it. Mussolini and Palpatine part one. That's good.
Oh boy.
Go, please.
So really, even before I saw it for this recording, I always thought this movie, like for the first 45 minutes is just, there's no point to it. It really only gets good after Anakin actually gets tricked into turning to the dark side. And then, you know, it's what we always wanted when this was first announced. We wanted to see what happened and what Vader was like before he got put in that suit. And just seeing it again this time, it was still just a whole lot of nothing.
I just wish any of the Jedi had given a shit. The Jedi are the most useless in this movie. They really don't matter. Like, there's Obi-Wan, there is Yoda, and then there's
Mace Windu.
But everyone else dies with like their backs turned. How is that possible? How can they be the most powerful people in the universe when they're like just being shot? Like, even when they first try to arrest the Emperor, he kills six of them before Mace even gets his lightsaber out.
Oh yeah,
they're garbage. The Jedi are useless in these movies. He's the only one who fights back is like one 15-year-old kid who's like, he takes down like a dozen of these clone warriors. That's it. The rest of them get like torn to shit.
According to the Tribune, that was George Lucas's son.
Who cares? He did something. George Lucas was probably the one behind the camera just poking him like, be better.
You're going to get your own spinoff one day if Disney doesn't buy us.
Now, son,
faster, more intense.
If you screw it up this time, there's no Christmas.
We're Jewish, but still.
Note how I can only do George Lucas' voice when I actually pull on my throat. Like,
yeah, you need a gobbler.
Wobbler.
You need a gobbler.
I feel like that's not good for your throat.
Oh boy,
it's not good for his either.
Yeah,
George, we love you. Just lose some weight and stop talking to people. I mean, it could be both. I mean, who cares? He has $1 billion. He's gonna go make some more Star Wars cereal and then appear in like Robot Chicken.
He doesn't need to do anything.
He's done 6 voices in Robot Chicken. He's fine. Don't worry about George.
Yeah.
Hey, Steven, can I be in your next movie? No, I'm not. He blocked his number.
Why am I being kicked out of the writing room for Indiana Jones 5?
Here's some crayons. You can write your own script, buddy. You'll figure it out. My Spielberg is just calm, relaxed. He's done with his shit. So what else do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the lightsaber duel with Obi-Wan and Anakin, which was really like why this movie exists.
Well, let's back up. There's 3 we should talk about. The first one is against Dooku.
Okay.
Which is fine, right? We start out with, like I said, the cold open where the Chancellor's been kidnapped. Dooku is the one who Chris Lee has captured him. And there's a fight scene between Anakin, Dooku, while Ewan McGregor is off trying to keep the guards away, effectively, mm-hmm. right? And
he gets conveniently knocked unconscious so Palpatine can then have Anakin kill Dooku.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, you should kill him. He's a dick. And Dooku's like, wait, what?
Do it.
Do it. Do it. And so he does. And Anakin gets fully wrecked for the first time, I guess. He's like, it feels so wrong, but it feels so right. And he's like, yeah, girl, you should go ahead. You should be the prom queen or whatever.
Not the Jedi way.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're delivering it with the amount of intense. Hayden Christensen might be the worst.
I don't blame any of the actors in this movie.
I will say it's interesting, though. Everyone else had a career after this except for him and Palpatine.
Well, Hayden Christensen was in Shattered Glass, and he played a very similar character. You know, the very talented, but very fragile emotionally.
What was that
guy? And he sounds very much like, not as infuriatingly whiny, but still.
What was that one movie he did after this where he could like instantaneously teleport anywhere?
Jumper.
Yeah.
And I think Samuel L. Jackson is in it too.
Yep. I think you're right.
Shattered Glass is actually before this.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, he was whiny and annoying in Attack of the Clones as well.
Oh, I mean, he's just whiny and annoying. That's apparently a Skywalker trait.
Well, I mean, George Lucas in the prequels was working with like Oscar nominees and future Oscar winners, and they all suck.
Yeah, no, he just doesn't know what he's doing. It's just lucky that everyone wants to be in a Star Wars movie, kind of.
I mean, Ewan McGregor at least acted like he was having fun. I mean, if you look at set photos with from the first one with Liam Neeson, he just looks done.
Oh, I mean, the second they're done, he refuses to talk to anyone. It's very clear he wants out of this movie. Because at the end, they even like make it seem like he's going to show up, right? They're like, there's an end. Yoda's down here. He's like, there's an ancient story about a Jedi who could defeat death and appear in holograms, which is totally kick-ass. And he goes,
is that Yoda or Gollum?
It's a little both. Where's my Kermit?
Hello. It's I can do Jim Henson doing Yoda.
And he's like, my master Qui-Gon. And you're like, so is Qui-Gon Jinn going to show up at the end? And Liam's like, no, I'm not going to show up in your movie. I've taken my script. I'm not going to give back my script.
I'm too busy filming Batman Begins.
I have a very specific set of skills that involve better acting than this shit.
If you try and make me be in this movie, I will find you and I will kill you.
I will find you and I'm going to kill you.
That turned into Trump real quick, which is weird. So at this point, Hayden Christensen called... Ooh, gross. He did do movies. He did one of those BS Christian movies.
Hayden Christensen?
Yeah. 90 Seconds in Heaven. Or 90 Minutes in Heaven. That one written by that kid who turned out to be lying about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, moving on. At this point, Hayden Christensen has decided, I'm going to act as hard as I can. And I knocked up Queen. And we're married now, I guess.
Well, they got married at the end of the whatever. Yeah, I don't care. I'm not even going to bother trying to fill in the gaps. I don't care.
Yeah, this movie is so bad.
All right.
The second vice thing we were going to talk about was General Grievous and Obi-Wan when they're on that weird planet.
Utapau.
Gesundheit. That's cool. I like the Grievous shit. The problem is clearly no one knows where to look. What they had very clearly Ewan McGregor do is just flail around. And then every time he flailed, they added lightsabers that he was dodging.
The fight, the choreography of the Obi-Wan versus Grievous fight is garbage. I mean, Grievous with four lightsabers moving as fast as he should, should have turned Obi-Wan into hamburger. But he just botches the job so badly.
I mean, here's the thing. I want to say it's the Force, but nothing happens. There's literally nothing that happens. This movie has these cool moments that dissolve into nothing.
I do like Obi-Wan, like just how Ewan McGregor was playing him in that fight scene with Grievous. It was kind of classy. It was him being Bond, basically.
Right. He drops down from the scene and goes, "Oh, hello." You know, like.
Oh, and then when he kills Grievous with the blaster, he just tosses aside, going, "Filthy weapon."
Yeah. The idea that the lightsaber's classy, this is an unclassy way to do it. Grievous is playing dirty. Whatever. I don't know. I get it all. I think the last one we have to talk about, of course, is Yoda. What do you think of Yoda in this bullshit?
The Yoda Sidious fight scene in the Senate was actually pretty good, and they're throwing the pods at each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree.
And the first part of Obi-Wan and Anakin was good because you see their fighting styles. Anakin is fast and aggressive, and he's supercharged in the dark side. And Obi-Wan, his strategy is to fight defensively until he wears his opponent out, and he is going to the absolute limit. Then it just turns to shit.
I will say, it's been a while since...
I mean, this makes me mad. It's so disappointing.
It's been a while since I've seen Empire, mm-hmm. about a year. He doesn't talk in those spoonerisms all the time. It's impossible to understand what he's trying to say in this movie. Like, he's speaking in these weird, elongated, backward sentences. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Are we talking about Yoda?
Yeah.
Not if anything to say about it, I have.
That is the dumbest sentence. He doesn't talk like that in any other movie. This one, he's just like, what if we gave him a paragraph that was completely backwards? I would rather watch this in German. Like, at least Hayden Christensen could fucking act in German.
One of the things that kind of, in retrospect, they shouldn't have done is have a Yoda fight scene in the one before this.
Oh, sure.
They should have saved it for this one.
I think it looked bad in this last one because they clearly put a lot of detail into him this time. I don't know if you noticed this, but like they show at one point his irises and pupils like dilate and mm-hmm. undilate. Like they show like creases and like veins in his eyes. I think people were complaining about how he looked in the second one. Because the problem is when you have a living, breathing puppet, it's a fucking thing that exists.
I love how in Last Jedi, they brought the puppet back.
Because you gotta, it looks like a thing. But at one point in this, they're on Kashyyyk.
You mean Kashyyyk?
Kashyyyk, whatever. They're in Kashmir, and where them Wookiees be? Mm-hmm. And
the Wookiees are doing Tarzan yells while swinging from vines onto tanks.
And Chewie is there. And the thing about Chewie is, you'd think he'd remember him when he runs into him later on. But Chewie's in Star Wars. It's the first time Chewie's even heard of the rebellion because bullshit. All this is bullshit. This is whatever. But at one point, Chewbacca, who's a dude in a suit, let's not forget, Yoda just swings up behind him and he doesn't move. I don't know how big Yoda's supposed to be, but I imagine even if you're a 6'8", 300-pound thing, if a 20-pound gremlin jumps onto your back,
you're going to feel it.
But the CGI just might as well have him leapfrogging around like he's a goddamn battle toad. This thing has no weight.
Leapfrog like a battle toad, also known as the fight scene with Dooku in Attack of the Clones. You can't even see him. He's a little green bouncy ball.
Oh, it's the worst.
That was terrible.
You're following the bouncing Jedi. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, no, it's all horseshit.
It's like Crazy Frog.
Yes!
Kermit has had enough of Miss Piggy's shit. That's what happened.
Jesus, no.
Which song?
The Crazy Frog song.
You're going to have to hum a few bars.
I've just got the hamster dance stuck in my head now. No, that's what I'm
which is, I think, from Robin Hood, which we've done.
Was it?
I believe so.
Okay.
Also, speaking of music, John Williams didn't write anything for this, did he? It was all just crap.
Rehashed stuff, I think.
Right, because like Duel of the Fates kind of kicks ass. And there's some songs he writes for the original for episode one.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no new themes in this. He even cracks out the old Leia theme at the end, right when they're born and they drop him off.
Oh yeah, and then you hear Luke's theme. Like yeah, it's all recycled.
Wait, Luke has a theme.
Yeah,
it's the song that's playing. With
it's the only good shot in the movie when Obi-Wan's dropping off a kid. You know the way he's trained.
Oh, in Tatooine.
And then you see the two sons.
Yeah,
that's such a beautiful shot. Then you realize, oh, this is why we fell in love with you, George. Why don't you divorce this crap?
Yeah, because it's like when Luke is on the sand dune and he's looking at the two. Oh yes.
And he wants to leave this one town. Right?
To go to the Tashi
Station
and get the damn power converters.
I'm going to go to Tashi Station. but here's the thing about all of that. That's where he's good, establishing shots. There's no shots here because it's all CGI.
Well,
George.
It's also terribly blocked, too, because it's all CGI. It's just people walking down halls.
Also, this bothered me. I've seen this movie probably 5, 6, 7 times. We have to hide these children to make sure that they're not found by the Empire. Let's hide them in the two most obvious places with Anakin's literal family and the head of the rebellion.
Well, I think the idea was that Vader, Anakin, whatever you want to call him, would never, ever go back to Tatooine.
Why?
I don't...
Because he's got issues.
But why?
And then
he killed those issues. Remember the last one? I killed them. Women, children. I killed them all.
Thank you,
That's
Shatner.
Why I'm fully hard right now.
Yeah, and Padme is like, he would never kill younglings. Homegirl, 5 years ago, he confessed to you that he shaved a whole tribe of them.
Of children. Children who were just against slavery, if I recall correctly.
They were barbarian raider types who'd kidnapped his mother.
No, who were killing slave traders. His mother was a slave.
Not at that point.
Yeah. When a woman is purchased,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if she's purchased to be a wife. She's still... purchased.
If they said explicitly they had freed her.
That's what Thomas Jefferson said too.
Okay, so because Leia went to the Organas, but wasn't it mainly just because they wanted, like he said, they wanted
I always
a
wanted
child.
A daughter.
Yeah. Mm. So it wasn't necessarily the best hiding place. It was just kind of like he wanted a child.
The one that the Emperor already tried to arrest twice?
Yeah.
And then he took him to his family. Again, like, my wife's like hiding in plain sight. I'm like, nah, the movie's not that smart.
Well, also the thing is he already knew that his wife was dead. He was told explicitly that he'd killed her. He had no idea that she had given birth. And in fact, if I recall correctly, during her funeral scene, she still looks pregnant.
Just kind of. So I'd forgotten that, by the way. I thought he had blamed Obi-Wan. I had, for some reason, in the back of my head, I thought the Emperor had blamed Obi-Wan to like completely finally separate him from all of his previous attachments. But he's like, you killed him. And he goes, no. Again, imitating Mark Hamill, I guess.
Yeah.
In a scene where he also kills the doctors, which is great. I had forgotten that too.
Oh, when he like force crushes all those
everything.
Droids.
Yeah. He crushes the walls, he crushes the vials, and then kills the doctors who performed the surgery on him, which were droids, so they don't matter. That's how George gets away with all this. Did you know that? It would have been an R-rated movie, but none of the people that are killed are human. None of the things that you see are actually killed are human. So mm-hmm. you can have them decapitated. A lot of hand trauma too.
Except Chris Lee. They decapitated Chris Lee.
But not on camera. We don't see it.
Mm.
We just see the body slump over after it's dead, right? And there's never blood because lightsabers are real convenient.
Yeah.
Super convenient.
Except in the first one where he slices off the guy's arm and there's totally blood.
Oh, there's so much blood. Owie.
Obi-Wan clearly had not changed the batteries in that one for a while.
I guess not.
I love that idea that he's going through someone, the battery's flickering, so it's just like, and he's like, ow, ow, ow. He's like,
what's,
like it's a tough piece of brisket or something.
Wasn't that an Energizer commercial when the original trilogy got re-released? There was like one where Vader's lightsaber runs out of batteries, and that's why he can't kill the Energizer bunny.
I'm Googling that right now.
If it's there, it's going to be on our Twitter. Don't you worry. And it, by the way, if you're not one of the 10,000 people who follow us, you should, because, like, I mean, I love Twitter, but we're doing polls and stuff and whatever. We're like 50 minutes into this. This movie is such a mess.
I don't even know if we've described anything that happens. I mean, everyone knows what happens. There's that big fight on the lava planet. Anakin gets burned up. He gets put in the Vader suit. The kids go to where they need to go, and we see the Death Star getting constructed.
Yeah, and for a dude whose lungs have been burned, Anakin sure can scream.
Well, and all of a sudden he sounds like a black dude. We get, what's his name back? James Earl Jones back to be the voice, and he sounds great.
Oh, I do remember
seeing... I found it.
Oh, it's real?
It's actually from 1994, so it's one of the prequels. But it's like that his lightsaber runs out of battery, and so he can't kill the Energizer Bunny. And then he goes, no!
I'm telling you, it's always been known as crappy dialogue. I had a sneaking suspicion that, Matt, you chose this just because that's the line. You quote that all the time.
Because it is so this movie is so disappointing, it made me actually angry.
I wrote a 4-hour fan fiction in order to fix it.
I bet you actually did, Nick. It's hidden away somewhere, and when you die,
oh, no, I'm just referencing your Transformers stuff.
Which is probably better than the movie.
I have never written fan fiction.
It's possible.
Really?
No.
It is entirely possible to have salvaged this. It just needed to... This is like the first draft, and they needed to go through like 5 more to really tighten it up.
All right.
Yeah, the whole Palpatine plot could have been like Captain America, Winter Soldier. You can't trust anyone. There's political conspiracies and stuff. But Anakin is so whiny and annoying throughout.
Well, I mean, honestly, too, he clearly wrote himself into a corner, had to figure it out, and just made no effort, right? Because you have a terrible second episode, which is... not only awful, but there's just no point to it. The first movie they throw out, there's almost nothing from episode 1 and episode 2. And you have episode 4, A New Hope, so you have to get there, but he just does it in the laziest, most unimpressive way possible. It's a nothing movie, but it's also a movie that made nearly $1 billion, so he feels like a pig in shit and he's fine. Right?
I mean, I think the reason why episode 3 like got the highest ratings of the prequels was because everyone wanted to see like the end of episode 3 when like Vader becomes Vader. But the rest of it, it didn't really matter. It was just getting to that point.
And there's some action scenes. They're forgettable, but they're inoffensive. Like there's nothing terrible, and at the end you have some interesting emotion. Like the most emoting comes from Yoda when he's feeling all the other Jedi being destroyed, and it's because George didn't direct that. It was a CGI crew somewhere who was doing computer animation at Lucas Ranch.
I'll give Natalie Portman some credit. Watching her totally break on Mustafar was painful to watch.
Yeah. Oh, the dialogue was so terrible, though. Oh, Annie, you're breaking my heart.
Well, she sells it. I felt sad for her. And Hayden's and Christian has totally gone bug nuts rambling on about how they can rule the galaxy.
You're going down a path where I can't follow.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think it's cheesy. But I will say she's a good actress. I'm not going to argue with you there, Matt. I agree with you. I wish she had anything to say other than, man, I wish I could bring this man down. Men are too powerful. I'm a terrible woman.
And then, of course, she'd redeem herself on Saturday Night Live with the Natalie raps.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah. I mean, she's a good actress. It's just funny to me, like, in a movie like this, which is, again, if someone said, George is directing episode 9, would you be in it? I'd be in it tomorrow. I'd be in a Star Wars movie no matter how bad it looks, how bad the script is. You're going to be shit cleaner number 4. I'm like, yeah, but I'm still above shit cleaner number 5. Oh, no. Shit cleaner number 5 doesn't exist. You're the lowest shit cleaner. And I'm like, I'm going to have Star Wars on my resume. I'd do it in a second. And clearly a lot of people wanted to. I just wish he did something with the money. Like, it feels so cheap at times, too. Like, you couldn't even get John Williams to show up. You know, like, you and Spielberg made John Williams, and he's like, yeah, I'll just mail this one in, too.
It's a paycheck.
It is. Everyone feels like they're just getting a paycheck, man. Even, like, Eggplant Head dude gets cut down, and he's just like, I'm out of this franchise, finally.
It's a living.
Yeah, right? I got nothing to add. Like, this movie is just... I agree with you, Matt. This is a disappointment. I
It could have been great. It sucked.
I don't feel like it sucked as much as you did. I just feel like it was nothing. Well, at the end, I just feel like you need to reboot the computer, man. Something's wrong with the game.
When I saw this movie in theaters, I spent the next 15 minutes after the end of the movie laughing about
no. I mean, I didn't find it funny. I just found all of it just nothing. I know you did because you quoted all the time. Fine. I left this movie feeling, you want to go get a sandwich? Like, it did nothing for me. It was 2 hours and 20 minutes of nothing. God, this is just disappointing. So I guess you're going to want us to do the other two, right?
No,
the audience. No, the answer is no. We're not going to do these.
Can we do one of the originals?
That's a good movie.
We should.
The thing is, we will do episode 6 and destroy some people. I think that movie's weird.
I will defend episode 6. It is one of my favorites.
We need to do the holiday special at some point.
Oh, no. Nobody needs to be subjected to that. I tried.
I heard it was the worst thing ever.
I tried to watch it for the song, and I couldn't.
Carrie is so drunk she can't stand.
Hedley Lamarr shows up trying so hard to be funny.
I've seen it. It's
and B. Arthur is in it. Like, why is B. Arthur?
B. Arthur is singing a ballad
about closing down the bar.
But it's the cantina theme. It's just slowed down. Carrie Fisher literally at one point is so drunk she can't stand. And so she's holding herself up on the counter dressed like Leia.
I believe she was high, not drunk.
Oh, fine. She's stoned out of her mind. She literally can't stand up. And at one point she's trying to walk and falls over, which is something.
I had those big books of movie reviews, ones that or like, you know, 4 inches thick. And the commentary Star Wars Holiday Special was, Leia has to hug a Wookiee named Itchy.
She does.
Itchy, basically, Lumpy, and
Humpy.
I guess.
It was like nobody wanted to see Chewie's family like this. Like, no, we didn't need this.
On Life Day. And Grandpa Wookiee is watching porn.
Oh, yeah. And special guest, Jefferson Starship.
That's true. Still better than this.
So time for some nerd rage. Is the Star Wars Holiday Special canon?
Who gives a fuck?
I don't care, man. I don't.
I feel like nobody can get through it, so it's not.
No, it's. I'll tell you, it's not, because George Lucas literally bought up every copy of it to be destroyed. And so
No, he didn't. Fun fact. Carrie Fisher had a copy of it, and she used to play it when she wanted people to leave for parties.
Was it a legit copy, or was it a recorded copy? Because the copies that we have are bootleg.
She got it from George, so I don't know. Could have been legit. All right.
Well, there you go. Okay, so apparently she had him by the balls, because he bought the copies from ABC, Disney, CBS, NBC, and destroyed them.
So
like that is in the record, because he won a court case to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, because she did a lot of script doctoring for him for other films. And so that was instead of paying
other
her,
films, he only wrote 6.
No. She did. What was that one?
Howard the Duck?
No, the Peter Pan one.
Oh, Hook.
Hook.
Well, yeah, but he didn't do Hook.
Oh, okay. Spielberg. He's in it, though.
He is. He's a guy making out on the bridge because he put money. So what people don't know about George Lucas is he's not a filmmaker. He's a producer. All of his money comes from producing stuff and selling toys to children. He's a crack dealer.
Basically.
But like, and so, I mean, effectively, when Carrie was down on drugs, he bailed her out a couple times. So he was her, like, she ends up helping him with a lot of producing duties. Mm. But she writes a lot of scripts. Like, that's what she does. She doctors a lot of scripts. She's dead.
She will live forever in our hearts.
R.I.P.D. But that's what she's known for, really. Like, she's thanked more in things than she's actually given credit for things.
And she was that nun in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Right, the one who offers, or who Jay tries to give oral sex to.
Wasn't she in The Burbs? Wasn't that
she
her?
Was
in The Burbs? Yeah, she was.
And she's also in, of course, Blues Brothers. We did the sequel to it at
she's the
front end of the
mystery woman.
She should have been in the sequel. She should have been trying to kill Elwood.
Yeah.
Now that the brother's dead, like that's a good end to it. Like, she gets out of prison too.
Yeah.
Better than this. Anyway,
she was good in The Burbs.
She's good in stuff.
Whatever.
But anyway, so what were we talking about before this tangent? Oh, the Christmas special.
We got nothing. I mean, yeah. Don't watch the Christmas special. It's bad.
It's not worth your time. Maybe go to YouTube, look up the Life Day song if you're curious, but that's really all you need to see.
I mean, we'll see. We might return to Star Wars eventually. People hated episode 7, but
people hated The Last Jedi. Well, I don't know. People were torn on The Last Jedi.
It's better than this.
People hated Force Awakens and Last Jedi for different reasons.
Yeah, well, some were racist. Some were sexist. Also, some people didn't like that there was an anti-war message in the last one, which is weird. But I here's the thing. I don't care about Star Wars. I enjoy them. They're movies. If you have your religion declared as Jedi, which 30,000 people in the UK do, you're an idiot. It's a movie. I'm sorry. These are movies. I mean, you can look up TV tropes all you want. You can engage on the Wikipedia all you want. They're movies, man. We might come back to Star Wars, but even doing this, we're going to get hate. So we'll see.
I'm concerned that when I said who cares what the canon is, I'm probably going to get some death threats.
You will.
I mean, again, there's 10,000 people who follow this Twitter. We get somewhere in the neighborhood of 30,000 people who listen to an episode. We'll see. But stay tuned. That's the end of this. Matt's was the last regular pick of these. We have one more because January has 5 episodes. It's a Matrix movie. It doesn't matter which sequel. It's the third one. But they're both terrible. Everyone in the world was disappointed by the second two Matrix movies. So I guess enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. These two sequels destroyed what little remained of my hope. So we're good.
Perhaps you need a new hope?
That would be lovely, actually. It would. That's a good movie. That's a whole, I mean, despite how much Luke sucks, it's fine. I just wanted to go to the power to get rid of me. At one point, like, I was watching it with my wife a few years back, and whenever he spoke, I just started doing Cartman whining to his mom. Me, 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 me. And that's, the dialogue's the same.
But that's Baru. I just want to go to the Tochi station to get some power converters.
In the Joker voice.
Sorry.
Hey, you can hear yourself now. So stay tuned next week and every future week when we destroy something else that you love. Bye, guys.
That's our new sign-off.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is produced by Dude Letter Podcasting and a member of the ESO Network. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Daniel Suttis and Ann Burke. It is produced by Daniel Suttis, Matthew Quinn, and Ann Burke. Thomas Herman is our consultant. Nick Hoffman is our executive producer. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find it at incompetech.com. It is licensed under the Creative Commons license. Thanks.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.